So welcome back, everybody. Today's the second share in our series. I'm going to share my screen. And, alrighty. So the early prophets, one book or one thing. And whether Sefer Yeshua is the first book of Nevi'im or the last book of Torah. Of course, everyone knows it's the first book of Nevi'im. And Rabbi Jay was already sort of surprised. How could you possibly say it's the last book of the Torah? So I'm going to explain why I think it's the last book of the Torah, why it should be, and then we'll see why it's the first book of Nevi'im. Now, Chumash has a theme. If you haven't come to one thing I've been teaching from every class I give, there's a theme going on in Chumash. It's not a history book. It's a theme. It's a book of prophecy. We talked about this last week also. A message from God to his people. And the five books of Chumash, they're not just five books. They all carry sort of a common theme. And I want to show you what that common theme is. Chumash begins in Sefer Bereshit with God not only creating, but entering a relationship, and hence a covenant with the people. He starts the people with Avraham Avinu by choosing Avraham Avinu, promising his offspring a land. And Bereshit explains which offspring become the nation. Remember, not all of them, only some of them. How long the process will take. Ben Abtarim, the covenant, going down to Egypt, coming out of Egypt. God fulfilling that theme in Sefer Shemot. How we become the nation, our redemption, our covenant of laws that are going to guide how we fulfill our goal as a nation. And then we have the Mishkan. Should it be? Shouldn't it be? You can argue, but how to use the Mishkan in Vayikra. And in theory, Sefer Bamidbar should have completed that story. In other words, Sefer Shemot is our travel from Egypt to Mount Sinai. Sefer Bamidbar should have been our travel from Mount Sinai to the land of Israel, conquering the land. But because the theme of Chumash is God's goal is to start a nation serving him as his model nation in the land, then the book should end when that promise is complete. That should be, I want to show you the Tzukim in Shemot here. I just want to show you the different stages that God promised us in Shemot. We all know them by heart. We drank through them at the Seder. But just a quick little review. I'll open up another window. Open up Shemot. Chapter 6, we know by heart. Lachen amor b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem, v'otzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, v'itzalti etchem, v'igalti etchem. Pasuk Vav is leaving Egypt. Pasuk Zayin is Mount Sinai. V'lakachti etchem le'la'am, v'ayti etchem le'lohim. That's Brit Sinai. And then you'll know that I'm the God, the first line of the Ten Commandments, who took you out of Egypt. And the last stage, v'veiti etchem el'aretz, I'll bring you to the land, which I lifted up my hand to give Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And I'll give you as an inheritance or as a possession a Morashani Hashem. Got it? Those are the stages of redemption. And therefore, that should be the framework of Chumash. And therefore, logically, Chumash should end with the conquest and settlement of the land and Am Yisrael conquering the land, becoming God's nation, and keeping his covenantal, keeping his covenant, keeping the Torah, and achieving its goal. And therefore, my claim is, if I follow the theme of the early books of Chumash, Chumash should have been complete in Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar should have been the story of how we leave Har Sinai and conquer the land. That's how it begins. We get the army ready. We get the Mishkan ready. We travel with the Mishkan. Vahib Saron Vimur Moshe Kum Hashem should have been the beginning of the conquest. Instead, from chapter 11 on in Sefer Bamidbar, instead of being the book of how we conquer the land, it's what went wrong. Who didn't make it? Why we didn't make it, and we learned from our mistakes. We began to talk about that last week in Tidim Ayin Chet. We'll get back to it later today. Therefore, had we not sinned in the desert with the sin of the spies, and the first generation been worthy, Moshe would have brought them in, and Chumash could have concluded with Moshe bringing the people in, conquering the land, and settling the land. It doesn't happen because of our deeds. Moshe doesn't bring them in because of what Moshe did, the topic of Parshat Chukat, and Moshe's, God's decision for Moshe not to come into the land and not to lead them into the land. And therefore, the theme of Chumash concludes in Sefer Yeshua, where we conquer the land, settle the land, divide it up between the tribes, and we're going to see, we're going to finalize the covenant as well. That'll be chapter 24 in Sefer Yeshua. But my point's clear? Now, for a technical reason, Sefer Yeshua is not in Chumash. Who can tell me what's the technical reason? Why not? Someone give me a technical reason why Yeshua is not in Chumash.
Different leaders. Moshe because passes away. Different leaders.
Chamisha Chumshi Torah.
Because there's only room for 5 books, okay?
not dictated by God.
It's because Moshe Rabbeinu has a special status. In other words, when Moshe dies, for a technical reason, when Moshe dies, Chumash has to conclude. Now, does Moshe die in Sefer Bamidbar? Sure he does. He's told to, isn't he? You forgot about that? Perach of Zion, Sefer Bamidbar, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, come up the mountain, it's time to die. I'll show you where, in case you forgot. Open up another one. No, I can open up this window. In Exodus, there we go. Bible here. Sefer Bamidbar, chapter 27. It should still be there. Here, Pasuk Yudbet. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Alei Har Avarim. Go up the mountain of transition, Har Nevo. Ureh et Aretz. Look at the land. Look at Venasafta el Amecha. That's a nice way of saying it's time to die. Remember about the Yasof Aron Elachav, Kashir Nasaf Aron Echicha. Go look, and it's time to die. And explaining why, because remember what happened in Midbar Tzin. No, if Moshe accepted that he would have gone to the mountain to die. Instead, God tells Moshe, Moshe tells God, you have to appoint a successor for me. And we appoint Yeshua. But the next line should be Moshe Rabbeinu. Basically, the theme, but Moshe Rabbeinu's career is over in Sefer Bamidbar. Before he dies, he gives his last speech in Sefer Dvarim. What I'm pointing out is the theme in Sefer Bamidbar is what should have happened. The first generation should have gone in. Explains why the first generation failed, why Moshe lost his leadership. And now that Moshe is going to die, he gives his last speech in Sefer Dvarim. But Chumash ends, for a technical reason, with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the details of his death, it was the commandment from Tadai is given in Bamidbar, but the technical conclusion is at the very end of Sefer Dvarim.
By that way, the I've always wondered about we call it Torah Mishina, but a lot of it happened after Shina. In fact, starting basically at the beginning of Bamidbar, when we said it moved away from
Bahar. From Sinai, yeah. Okay.
So that raises the question of even if you accept the last non-pesukim of the volume, when was the rest of the Torah written?
Okay, the question, when was all put together in the 40th year, that's also later in Sefer Dvarim, that'll deal with later. What I want to go back to is my key point is that the theme of Chumash is about God choosing a nation, promising him a land to become a nation in the land of Israel to serve him. And that theme, which begins in Bereshit, continues in Shemot, in Vayikra, and should conclude in Bamidbar, is held off because of the sins of the first generation. And therefore, what didn't happen in Sefer Bamidbar happens in Sefer Yoshua. I want to give the analogy, a simple one.
Is it?
You can build a house or build a machine, and then you have maintenance, how to take care of it. So in anything you're building, in Chumash, we're building a nation. We're starting with God choosing a nation, how the nation comes about, how God enters a covenant with the nation, what he promises them, and the nation getting started. Once it's started, okay, once it's built, then how do I take care of it? Anything, you buy a car, you build a car, then you have maintenance. You build a house, you have maintenance. But first you build it, and then you take care of it. Make sure it's going in the right direction. My point was, Chumash is about beginning the nation and starting it. Nevi'im's job is to make sure it goes in the right direction. But my point is, Sefer Yoshua concludes the theme that began in Sefer Bereshit. Okay, now, and therefore my claim is, for technical reason, because Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and Chamishei Chumshei Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu's Nuvos assumed as a higher level, I conclude Chumash with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, but I conclude his statement Sefer Yoshua. And that's why Chazal say, if it wasn't for the sins in Sefer Shoftim, we would have had only Chamishi Chumash Torah and Sefer Yoshua. Okay. Now I want to tie this together what we did last week. What is the theme of Sefer Yoshua? We're going to return later on to explain why it's the first book of Nevim. But I explain now why it's also the last book of Chumash, and we'll see how they both work together in Sefer in the book. Now, I'm going to begin with the question, was the conquest of the land complete? In Sefer Yoshua, from people remembering, if you want, you can use the chat. Just, I want either a yes or no answer.
No.
No.
Okay. I want to know the question, was the conquest of the land complete? You can either write the chat real fast, yes or no. No.
No.
No.
No.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Sounds like you guys all sound like Pharaoh. Already. You fell right into my trap. Everyone said no. Right. Now we're going to read a pasuk from Sefer Yoshua. Okay. We have Yoshua open right here. Here, Joshua, right here. Right. We're going to go to chapter 11. Okay. Let's look at chapter 11, make it a little bit bigger. At the very end of the book here, the end of chapter 11. Listen carefully. Vayikach Yoshua et kol ha'aretz. Got that? Yoshua, the entire land. Kechol asher diber Hashem Moshe, just like I told Moshe. Vayna Yoshua lenachala l'Yisrael kamachlokotam. Yoshua, after conquering the land, gave it to the people of Israel, according to their divisions, to their tribes. Va'aretz shaktam emechama. Land was quiet for more. We want to vote again? Can't argue with Yeshua's the book of Nevim. One second. Let me show you another pasuk before you start bringing me Sefer Shoftim. One second. I'll share my screen again. I'm sorry. Chapter 21. I'm sorry. The end of chapter 21. You can't get more explicit than this. The very end of chapter 21. It's on the source sheet later on. We'll get to it, but I won't show you now. Vayitein Hashem l'Yisrael kol ha'aretz. Asher nishba letet l'avotam. V'yoshua v'yeshuva tachtav. God gave us the entire land, which he promised our forefathers. Okay? They conquered it and settled it. Vayanach Hashem lehem mistaviv. Kachash nishba labotam. God gave them rest from all their enemies around, as he promised our forefathers. Lo mad ish lifnehem or bifnehem. Lo mad ish bifnehem. No one was in their way. Mikol evem asher et kol evem nathan Hashem beyadam. God helped them defeat all their enemies. Listen carefully. Lo nafal davar. Mikol davar atov asher diber Hashem abeit Yisrael kobah. Everything that God promised, everything came true. Nothing fell short of what God promised. Okay, now, why did all of you say no?
Because God said that it would be conquered little by little.
I'll take your who said that. Okay. I'll get to Lee's question about the book of Judges. Okay.
What about chapter 13?
Okay, Sefer Shoftim. Let's take a look at Sefer Shoftim. I'll go back to pasuk about little by little in a short time. As long as we have the Tanakh open, let's take a look at Sefer Shoftim. Sefer Shoftim coming up. Bible. Sefer Shoftim. And if you have one with here we go. Chapter 1 is enough. No, Sefer Shoftim we wanted. My mistake. Judges. Chapter 1. Verse 27. Okay. Lo horish Menashe, dot, dot, dot. Verse 29. The Ephraim lo horish, dot, 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 dot. Vamed. Zvulun lo horish, dot, dot, dot. Asher lo horish, dot, dot, dot. Got it? Daftali lo horish. Got it? Goes on and on. So it looks like we didn't. Now, another question for you. So it looks like, well, maybe Shoftim is a different author, maybe, who knows? Maybe Shoftim has a different. We have lots of problems of Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar, but still it seems. But I want to support Sefer Shoftim with Sefer Yoshua.
But what Rabbi Liebtag? Excuse me.
Yes, Gwadi Lama.
What about chapter 13, where it says
exactly? Now, what comes first, 13 or 11?
11.
Doesn't 13 come after 11?
Yes, but then why does it say that in 13?
We'll see. Okay, Carol's right. We'll get to your show 23 also. Okay, let's take a look. You guys are on the ball. Let's go back to Sefer Yoshua. and take a look at chapter 13, which is after 11. I'm just joking on the question. Got it? Here. Yeshua Zaken. We know the feeling, right? Baba Yamim, he's old already. It means it's after his conquest. That's what you're talking about, right, Ilana? There's a lot of length left to capture. So it's not a contradiction between the book of Shoftim and Yeshua. It's a contradiction within the book of Yeshua. Right? And you give a whole list of land that's missing. No. We'll see also in chapter 23, but on the way to chapter 13, let's look at chapter 18. Okay? All of Israel gathers together in Shiloh. Okay? They bring the Ohel Moed there. We'll deal with that chapter later on. There's seven tribes that didn't finish their conquest and didn't take their Nachalah. And Yeshua tells them, Ad ana atem mitrapim lebol dereshet tataretz. How come you're being lazy? Get your job done. Conquer the land which God's giving you. And he divides it up. And then to the seven tribes. That'll be chapters 18 and later 19. So within the book of Yeshua, and then someone mentioned chapter 23. Okay. And here. This is Vayimim Abrim Abim. This is after God gave us rest from our enemies. Yeshua is getting even older now. And this is what Yeshua says. He's getting old. What pasuk did you say we wanted to quote? We said, here. Here. It says in verse, here. This goes back to what we saw beforehand. There's nations left over for you to conquer. Based on your tribes, which is referring back to chapters 18 and 19. Between the Jordan, right? Whatever those borders we'll see later on. Okay. They talk about God can help you. But basically he's saying, God will help you conquer the more lands. Right? But you didn't finish yet. Understand? So instead, what I'm getting at is within the book of Yeshua, right? There's some sources that claim everything's conquered. Other sources that claim that there's a lot left to be conquered. The book of Shoftim certainly is screaming that there's a lot left to be conquered, which is after Yeshua died. That's how it begins. Now, how do they solve the problem in academia? Anyone know? Academia has a very easy answer to the problem.
Two authors.
At least, okay? It means multiple sources and a sloppy redactor. Okay? And, you know, someone sometime in Second Temple period started all these scraps of Jewish history and wasn't careful and just pasted it all together. And all the different stories of the conquest are not called the book of Yeshua. We're not going to accept that, number one.
How about if it was divided but not conquered?
Okay, that's an answer already. Okay, but still the question's a good question. You can say it was conquered but not divided. Okay, but in the pasuk we read, it said it was divided also. Here, let's go back and take a look. Didn't it said?
Could you have conquered but not gotten rid of the people? Maybe that's the problem. You become the sovereign. You become the owner of the land and the government. But if you leave these people in there, which you're not supposed to do, their kind of behavior is going to influence you.
It'll be like thorns in your side and things like that. Okay. But remember, it says he was Mori. Let's take a look again in chapter 11. I'll go back to the Bible critics, okay? I hear it. End of chapter 23. End of chapter 21. Let's get this open. Chapter 21. Here. How's it end again? Chapter 21. Okay. And I'm sorry. Chapter 11 was better. The end of chapter 11. I want Yerusha. Okay. Yeshua took the whole land. Okay. Look down everything that God said. And Yeshua gave it for Nachlah for all of Israel, for the Shvatim. And it's quiet. So you're right. They didn't finish getting rid of the other nations, but the land is conquered, but we have Yerusha. It's all conquered. You know, when we finished all the battles, and then Shoftim says, B'lo Harishu. And also in Yeshua, it's B'lo Harishu. I want to give a different approach. Okay. I know the answer that they did a half a job. And there's a lot to that. I want to give a different approach, which is the whole approach I'm trying to teach you in this series. the book has a theme. Now, and we had a perfect introduction. We didn't record it, but there was a problem with signing into the shir today. Okay, because usually you click and you go right to it. And now today you needed a password. My computer got all stuck. I had to reboot my computer 3 times. So I finally got things working right. And who do we blame it on? We blame it on, it's not Torah Motion's fault. It's Zoom's fault, right? Right? Someone mentioned that. There's something with Zoom. Now, we have a rule of thumb ever since chapter 2 in Bereshit, or chapter 3. When something goes wrong, blame it on somebody else, right? That's how we grow up. That's how we get through marriage. That's how he goes, I gotta be careful. Now, when something goes wrong, blame somebody else. It works like a charm. Now, I got trouble now. Okay, sorry. Okay. Okay, the works are fine. I was just joking. Now, seriously, my claim is, did God keep his promise? What would you say? Who promised us the land? And that's why I'm saying Yeshua is the last book of Chumash. Right? Didn't God promise the Jewish people, the offspring of Abraham, the land? Isn't Moshe's prayer, doesn't that keep us alive in the desert? Moshe says, you promised the land. And it saves them. It saves us left and right. Remember, Zohar Lavram Yitzchak Yaakov? It's the essence of our prayer. God promised the Jewish people to conquer the land for us. You promised us the land. Now, if I accept, say, for Yoshua, say, half of Yoshua, okay, and Shoftim, that the land isn't conquered, the question isn't what happened. The question is, who's to blame for what? For the partial conquest. How come the conquest wasn't complete? I'll make my key point now, and then we'll use it to explain the whole book. I'll say it twice to make sure my point's clear. Okay? God's promise, we'll see, was on condition. And the people, I'm assuming, in the end of Yeshua's life, are complaining, God, you didn't keep your promise. The land isn't conquered. There's lots of land left. What's God going to say? Well, God doesn't speak to us. God speaks through his prophets. What's the prophet going to say? Don't blame God, blame yourselves. Now you see why we did Shirat Hazinu first? That's exactly the theme of Sefer Yosh, of Shirat Hazinu. When something goes wrong, Shichet Lo, don't attribute to God, Lo, Banabumam. Attribute it to yourself. Okay? And that's sort of input. God's right. God kept his promise. And the book of Yeshua is coming to tell you, God kept his promise. Now I need a Jewish lawyer. Which is say for Yeshua. Got it? No, I need to prove that God kept his promise, because what did God promise? Right? Now, as people said, God promised to give us the land. What does it mean to give you the land? It's giving you an opportunity. Right? Like when parents give their children a college education, what's that mean? It means they give them the opportunity, but they're not going to take the classes for them. We're going to see God's going to give us the ability to conquer the land, but there's parts that we have to do. God will give us an opportunity, a challenge to do something. If we live up to it, that's up to us. And the book is going to come and say, God did everything he promised. If something went wrong, the people were to blame. Got that? Now I need to show you that all in the psukim. All righty? We'll get to work. Let's get to work and share my screen. There we go. Back to our source sheet. Okay? So, conquest with open complete. Here's our sources. Who's to blame? Now, I want to show you in chapter 23 in Yeshua, where Yeshua says this, okay? We'll see later on. Chapter 23 is not the last chapter of the book, but it's chronologically the last event of the book. We're going to see when we study chapter 24 next week, that chapter 24 happened earlier. Chapter 24 is going to finish Chumash, basically. That'll be the Brit. We're going to redo the Brit of Har Sinai, and we'll see why. That'll be a different topic. For now, I simply want to show you that chapter 23, and we'll prove it, is the last speech that Yeshua gives, the end of the book, and it's also the reason for the book. I'll read the introduction, and then I'll skip a little bit to make sure we finish in time. Many years after all these events, God helped us, gave us rest from our enemies, and Yeshua is getting old. Yeshua is giving his goodbye speech. He's on his deathbed. We'll see. Like why Yeshua l'chol Yisrael l'shniknav l'shotrav, all the nations of Israel together, all of Israel, And he tells him, Ani sakanti bate b'yamin. I'm old, it's time for me to pass on. And now listen what he tells them. The same contradiction, is the conquest complete or not? Listen carefully to what Yeshua says. Atem ritem et asher asah Hashem l'alechem l'chol gomei l'mitnechem. You saw what God did to all the enemies in front of you. Ki Hashem elochem hu anecham lechem. The battles you won, who helped you win those battles? God did. It wasn't you, it was God who helped you. Now, you did your part, but God was, thanks to God, he enabled you to do it. So it sounds like land is captured. But what? There's still lands and nations left to conquer, which I set aside for your different tribes. That was chapter 18 and 19. From the Yarden up to the, what do you call it? Between the Jordan and the Mediterranean. That's Eretz Canaan. Remember, Yamagadol is, that's, you understand, the borders of Eretz Canaan are from Dan to Beersheba and from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. Got it? We'll talk about the wider borders later on. That'll solve another problem. Okay. What's Yeshua promise? What's God promise, Yeshua? V'Hashem alechem hu yedefet mitnechem. Hashem, your God, he'll help you thrust them away. V'rishot mitnechem. He'll help you possess them and conquer them. V'yishtem et atzam k'asher dibe Hashem lechem. He'll help you conquer just like God said. What I want to show you is God won't do it for you. God will do it with you. We'll see this over and over again. God's promise is not to conquer the land for you, but to conquer it with you. Okay? But on what condition? Be strong to keep all the laws written in the Torah. Because if you don't keep the laws, God won't be able to help you. We'll see this theme over and over again. I'm going to skip just to save time. Pasuk Yudalda. Listen carefully now. Hinei onochi holech hayom b'derech kol ha'aretz. You know what that means, don't you? That's a nice way of saying, Yeshua saying, it's time for me to die.
I'm going to die.
Okay. Vidatem b'chol levavchem v'chon nafshechem. That's terminology of Sefer Dvarim. We'll see why later on. Ki lo nafal davar echad. Mikol advarim atovim asher diber Hashem alechem alechem akol balechem lo nafal mimenu davar echad. There's the theme of the book right there, isn't it? You understand my introduction last week from Hazinu? What's Yeshua saying in his final speech? You need to know and understand nothing that God promised fell short. Everything God promised came true. Lo nafal. He's saying it twice even in the same sentence. Ki lo nafal davar achad mikol advarim atovim. Hakol ba lo nafal mimenu davar. Then he says, just like all the good promises can come true, right? All the bad things can happen also. It's up to you. If you break my brief, we'll go back to the brief later on, and we'll see why this will be followed by chapter 24. Now, what's my key point? And I can use that as an anchor to explain the book. The book wasn't written to tell you what happened. The book was written to tell you, hope that's clear. The book is coming. A book was written for this gathering of Yeshua's final speech. I'm coming to explain to you that God kept his promise. Now, what did God promise? Okay, so someone mentioned chapter 23 in Shmot that God promised we'll do it slowly. Let's take a look at that, but we're going to go to chapter 23 and see what God promised. Now, he promised our ancestors, I'm going to give you the land. That was very general. I want to begin with Sefer Shmot when I get the detailed promise. I'm going to open up Shmot chapter 23. Open up my screen, and we'll go to Sefer Shmot. Chapter 23, we'll start with verse 20. Okay, chapter 23:20. Hinei Rochi Sholech Malach Lefanecha. This is the end of Parshat Mishpatim, right after the Ten Commandments. On the same day or the day after, we receive the Ten Commandments and the laws of Parshat Mishpatim. And mostly on this, we say the Brit of Nasa V'Nishma if I keep Chumash in order. But this goes together with the Ten Commandments in the Brit at Har Sinai, the covenant at Har Sinai. What's God promised after giving all these laws? I'm going to send a Malach to lead you, to bring you the place I got ready for you, the land of Israel. Listen carefully now. You better listen to this malach who I'm sending. Don't rebel against him. Okay? He won't be able to carry away your sins because the messenger I'm sending you is associated with my name. Listen carefully now. Kim shemoa tishma b'kolo. If you obey what he tells you to say in my name, and hence, and you do what I say for you to do, because if you follow my laws and keep to my covenant, then your enemies will be my enemies and your adversaries will be my adversaries. Meaning, conquest of the land is contingent on keeping the mitzvot and having the right attitude. And then, if so, my malach will lead the way and bring you to land and help you defeat it. And when you come in, don't bow down to other gods. Instead, serve your God, etc., etc. Now, after that, God says, I'm not going to get rid of all the enemies right away in 1 year, because you don't want wild animals to cover it. I'll do it little by little. Okay? And then I'll make your border all the way from Sufa Yam Plishtim Midbar Ad HaNahar. Now, what Nahar is that? Is that the Euphrates? Or is that the Jordan? It could be that the slow process of conquest is talking about the wider borders of Israel from what's called Nahar Mitzrayim to Nahar Prat, meaning also the Transjordan, maybe something up in Lebanon. That could be, or it could be simply the process of the whole land. God's saying the conquest won't be 1 year, maybe a couple years, but not to do it too quick so wild animals don't come over. But that's not talking about that's not the reason why we have the contradiction in the book. Now, what I'm getting at is that here, it's quite clear that God's assistance in conquering the land is contingent on our keeping the mitzvot. Now, I want to bring a better proof, though. In Moshe Rabbeinu's last speech in Sefer Devarim, we're going to skip now to Sefer Devarim, right here. Sefer Devarim, right on top. Bible and Devarim. In chapter 11 in Sefer Devarim, we have the famous second parsha of Kriyat Shema, you know by heart. But if you follow my laws, what God's telling you to do, then I'll give you rain at the right time. Your agriculture will be fine. You'll be prosperous. Be careful if you don't follow my laws. I'll have to kick you out of the land. We're all familiar. And then make sure to remember all these laws, learn them and keep them. So you stay in the land for a long time and not be thrown out. Now, that's the end of the first section called the mitzvah section of speech of Sefer Devarim. Listen now in Pasach Bet. And I want to show you this from a technical point of view is the introduction to Sefer Yoshua. What is Moshe saying now in Sefer Devarim? Again, chapter 11, verse 22. Im shemar tishmur et kol ha-mitzvah hazot, if you keep this entire commandment, which is to do what? Which I'm commanding you. To love God and follow his ways and cling to him. If you keep all the laws and the right attitude of Sefer Devarim, loving God and fearing God, keeping his mitzvot and are committed to that, then Lorish Hashem et kol ha-goyim ha-elam bifnechem, v'yashtem goyim dolim v'atzumim mikem. If you keep the mitzvot and want to keep the mitzvot, have the right attitude and are committed, then God will help you conquer those nations. Why am I saying God will help you and not do it for you? Listen carefully to Chav Dalet. Kol ha-makom asher tidrok chabrag lechem. That's key, this line. Anywhere where you walk. Got it? Wherever you walk with your feet. Meaning, anywhere in initiative, lechem yeh. God will do it with you, not for you. It means, I'm there to help you, and wherever you go, I'll be there for you. Okay? Anywhere among your borders, all the way to Nahar Prat. That's why it could be Nahar Gadol, the Nahar there might be referring in Shemot all the way up to the Euphrates. Again, the borders of Israel is a different topic. We'll do it later. What else does God promise? Lo yitasev ish bifnechem, meaning if you go to battle, no one will get in your way. It means you'll win your battles, and other nations will fear you, right? Al pnei kol ha'aretz, but asher tidrechu bo, where you walk. Kasher diber lechem. Therefore, there are two conditions in conquering the land, aren't there? God's giving you the opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity to conquer the land on the condition that you take initiative, wherever you walk, and you keep my mitzvot. If either of those conditions are missing, I won't be able to help you. Got that? Remember the Mapilim? They want to conquer the land. Why can't they? Because God's not with you. Because you didn't have the right attitude. Notice, wanting to conquer the land is not enough. You have to be worthy of conquering the land. And you have to want to conquer. You have to also want to fight. You need to take initiative and be with God. Now, let's go back now and look. Remember those two kings? And let's read the opening lines of Sefer Yoshua. And then we'll do the comparison on the source sheet. Look at the opening line of Sefer Yoshua. It's right here. Yoshua, here we go. Chapter 1. Vayach remote Yoshua, make it nice and big. This is the opening line of the book, and not by chance. Moshe Abdi met. We're all familiar. Moshe died. And now you're taking over. Got it? You go and cross the Jordan River, you and the whole nation, to the land which I'm giving to the people of Israel. What do you mean giving? I'm giving you the opportunity to conquer it. Now look at the perfect mess. Wherever you go, I'll be there for you. Kasher dibarti el Moshe, just like I told Moshe. You see the perfect match? Memidbar v'alvanon azead nahar gadol, right from Sefer Dvarim. That's the widest borders. Again, lo itasev ish b'lefanecha. Word for word from Sefer Dvarim. No one will get in your way if you take initiative. Ko yimei chayecha, we'll get, see why? Your entire life, as long as you need. Ko yimei chayecha. That's why when Yeshua is about to die, what are the people afraid of? This promise might be only while Yeshua is still alive. That's why Yeshua is going to give his last speech. He's saying, even though I'm dying, God will still be with you. We'll return to that later on when we get back to Perachav Gimel. But hope that's clear. God's promising no one will get in the way. God tells Yeshua your whole entire life. Just like it was with Moshe, I'll be with you. I won't abandon you. Chazak ve'amatz, be strong. Because you're the one. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. But I'll do it with you. You're going to be the one to give them the land that I promised their forefathers. Meaning, I'm going to help you, but you have to do it, and I'll help you if you keep my mitzvot. On what condition? I'm thinking that you keep my mitzvot in Sefer Dvarim. And don't go, you mean a small, right out of Sefer Dvarim, chapter 4. Right? To be successful in everywhere you go. And the famous line, Noim of Sefer Torah Zemim Picha, Vehitab Yamam Vadaila. Okay? Ki az tatzliach metrachmas tatzkiyo. Got it? Therefore, the opening line of Sefer Yeshua is saying what? Which is the theme of the book. What did God promise? God promised wherever you go, I'll be there to help you. I'm giving you an opportunity, and wherever you go, I'll be there to help you. Now, in light of that, all we need to do now is read the last lines, all the lines that we thought were contradictions. And I'm going to read this like a Jewish lawyer. Okay? Let's read. Let's go back up to... Did I skip it or not? No, who's to blame? We did that. Okay, here's the comparison we just did. This was Devarim chapter 11, 22-25. I put this in the Allah Torah, and they matched it up for me. I didn't even check it out yet, but yeah, I had Allah Torah. They have a Torah lab where you can compare any two sets of sukkim in AllahTorah.com. It's an amazing tool. He matches up Shmorti Shmurun, keep all my mitzvot, and then the last line in Yeshua was Rachazak Ve'amatz. I'll use a little annotating tool and do my little arrow. Here we go. Shmorti Shmurun and Mishmor. Okay. Now, on what condition? Koma Koma Shiti Drokha Velchem, Yeshua said, right out of what Moshe said in Dvarim. The same borders. You made Bar Adanar Prat, got it? And the main thing, Loita says Ipif Vechem, Loita Seif Lefanecha. Okay, and your Gvul. Got it? It's clear that the opening line of Yeshua is basing on what Moshe promised in Sefer Devarim to the nation about to go into the land. And Yeshua's opening line is, what did God promise? God promised us to give us an opportunity to conquer the land, and he'll help us everywhere we go. On the Giddish, we keep his mitzvot. That's just for the fun of it. Anyone remember a story in Sefer Yeshua where we lose a battle, even though we take initiative?
The eye.
Eye, that's right. And why did we lose it? Chatai Yisrael. Got it? Now, were there any tribes that didn't take initiative? That's chapter 18. Got it? And the ones who didn't take it, that's exactly Sefer Shoftim. Who got their Nachala? Yehudah took initiative. They got their whole Nachala. All the other tribes, wherever they didn't take initiative, they didn't get. That's Lo Harish. It's not a contradiction between the books. It's just when you understand the theme of the book, it makes sense. Now, let's go back and undo, let's say, clear the drawings and go back to my mouse. Okay. Now, remember the first, what's complete? We're going to read this carefully now. Again, chapter 11, verse 23. This was confusing, right? Vayikach Yehoshua et kol haaretz, tuchol asher diber shem el Moshe, Yeshua took the entire land just like God told Moshe, and Yeshua gave it for Nachalat Israel to the tribes. Now, I don't know if you went to school way back many years ago, we learned how to diagram sentences. Let me stop this here for a minute. Anyone remember diagramming sentences? What things are modifying? I don't think they do it anymore, but back in the, so anyone my age probably remembers. Now,
yeah.
Now, look what happened. This phrase, "Kechol asher diber Hashem et Moshe," what's it modifying? Is it modifying the verb "vayikach" or the land or the noun or the subject or the object? In other words, what land did Yeshua take? All the land that God promised Moshe Rabbeinu, right? From Dan to Beersheba, you follow? Or is it modifying "vayikach"? How did Yeshua take the land? Yeshua took the land just like God promised. What did God promise? Wherever I go, I'll be there to help you. And therefore, are there any stories in Yeshua where God helps them conquer the land, where Yeshua takes initiative and God does a miracle for them?
Yericho.
Not just Yericho. Yericho. That's every story, isn't it? The book, the story, the boundless stories in Yeshua are the boundless where God helps us. Either, you know, sometimes more intensely, sometimes less intensely, but it's a story of Am Yisrael taking initiative and God helping us whenever we take an initiative. And they explain what battles are in the book and what battles aren't in the book. Right? So how did Yeshua take the land? Just like God promised. What did God promise? Everywhere you go, I'll be there for you. And in light of this, we're going to simply read through the whole book. It'll make perfect sense. Now, the same thing at the end of the book. God gave Israel, remember, he gave them the opportunity, the land. He gave us the opportunity, which he promised our forefathers, and we conquered, but we did. And God gave us rest from our enemies. What did God promise? No one will be, remember, lo yitaseh ish lefanecha, lo amad ish lefnehem. B'kol avim asher avim nefashem b'dam. Everywhere we went, God was there to help us. And finally, lo nafal davar, nothing fell short. Everything that God said, hakol ba, which is exactly what Yeshua says in his speech, isn't it? In Perek Chav Gimel. This is in Perek Chav Aleph still. But this is a proof. This is proving what Yeshua is going to say in his final speech in Perek Chav Gimel. Hope my point is clear. That's the main point I want to get across, is that when I take into consideration what's the prophetic purpose of the book, it not only solves its contradictions, that was the title for the series, is that if I read the book as history, oh, here's what happened, I have all these contradictions. If I read the book as a book of prophecy where the prophet has to explain to the people that God kept his promise and blame yourselves for the failure and not God, then everything in the book is going to make perfect sense. It begins, what was God's promise? It was a conditional promise that you had to keep his mitzvot and have the right attitude and take initiative. And whenever we did that, whenever we had the right attitude and God helped us, it was fine. Now, I want to end where we left off last week. We'll have to continue this next week. Last week I missed it also. But I want to go back to why Yeshua is the end of Chumash. I hope my point is clear. Next week we have to go back and see how the different details in Sefer Yeshua follow this point. But my key point is the book is about how God kept his promise. Now, here's something I think we started it last week. But remember, we used this to prove that Shira Tazinu was that don't blame God when things go wrong, but learn from your mistakes. When something goes wrong, blame it on yourselves and try to learn from it. And therefore, Tehillim 78 starts with a theme of Hazinu. Hazinu ami torati atu asayaf in imirfi. That's plagiarizing on purpose, Shirat Hazinu. And he says, what do we need to do? We need to learn the stories of Chumash. We can't hide from our children. Every generation, we tell them all the great things that God did for us. And he gave us laws and stories. Okay? And we have to teach them to our children so the next generation knows and they'll tell to their generation. We relate how that relates to the Seder night. Okay? So Am Yisrael should put their faith in God, not forget all the things that God plots and does, and keep his mitzvot, because we know that God can help us and he can punish us. And what's the main thing we need to learn from Chumash? To learn from our mistakes. We shouldn't be like the generation that left Egypt. Dor Sorel Moreh, that's a generation. The sin, not just with the golden cap, but with the meraglim. The generation that didn't make it, why? Dor lo echin libo, the generation that wasn't ready for conquest and wasn't steadfast in the trust of God. Yep. And then he goes, and the rest of the thing goes through all things that God did for us, how we were bad. And he was, and explains why God gives us another chance of a rachum. We'll skip all this for now. But he goes through all, we didn't learn our mistakes, right? We made God very, we got God annoyed. God was very annoyed at us in the desert, right? And we kept on testing God, and we didn't learn the lesson of the plagues. God was hoping that witnessing the plagues and going through the Exodus, what Rabbi Yoel was saying, if those in the Shir, witnessing all the events of the last 100 years, should have an effect on people. You know, God's giving you a message. He was hoping that that study of Jewish history would be transformative understanding, that people should be more committed to keeping his laws. He goes over what they saw with all the plagues. This was a line we read at the Seder. We did that Shir a long time ago. And the that those midrashim in Nagadar want you to read this parak because that's the key message of the Seder, but that's a topic. That was 3 weeks and 3 days ago. Okay. Now, listen, after Makat Bechorot, got it? God helped us travel like sheep. Like he was like watching, he was like the shepherd watching his sheep through the desert. Okay. And he led us, right? What do you call it? You know, we saved us through the Red Sea, etc. Okay. And now watch how we go to Sefer Yeshua. Vayivyema gulkotcho, harzeh kantayu, you know, right out of Sefer, right out of Shirat Hasidu, isn't it? And he brought us to gulkotcho, and basically brought us to the mountain range in the central land of Israel. He helped us get rid of our enemies. He sent the enemies from us. We defeated them, and we got the Chevel Nachala. Remember? Remember Yisroel Chevel Nachlato? In Shirat Hazinu, Veshkim Ba'olim Shiftei Yisrael. This is all built on Shirat Hazinu. Okay. That's Sefer Yeshua, isn't it? Done, right? And then what happened? Then we continued testing God. We didn't keep his laws. And then we're going to get to Sefer Shoftim, got it? And then we're going to get to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Veshkim Mishkan Shiloh, okay? The Aaron's taken captive, right? And it goes on. And then finally, right? Finally picks David and he's going to lead the people. Now, why did I just do that at the end? Remember my introduction last week? Shirat Hazinu is the introduction to Nevim Rishonim? Now, if my contention is correct, I have a perfect proof of Tehillim 78, right? Tehillim 78 starts with Shirat Hazinu, doesn't it? That's what it starts with Shirat Hazinu, remember? Wait, Tehillim 78, what happened to it? Here we go. No? Here we go. Here. And how we have to learn from our history. And don't blame God. We weren't ready for redemption. And learn from your mistakes. Don't blame God. Blame yourselves. Right? And then God was nice to us, always giving us another chance. And then it goes through all Jewish history, how God fulfilled everything he promised. And we messed up. And it goes through not just the end of Chumash. It goes through Sefer Yeshua, Sefer Shoftim, and Sefer Shmuel, ending with David, who's writing, who appoints Asaph as his chief Levite. Remember, Asaph is the chief Levite in David's choir. And Asaph is coming to explain why David was successful. Because who actually finishes and completes the conquest of the land? David. And we'll see that when we get to Sefer Shmuel. So let me summarize for today. My point today was to explain my whole approach to the Nevim Rishonim, in my opinion, it makes sense because I'm blinded by, I've been teaching it too much. So I think I'm right sometimes. But my point is that I'm searching for a prophetic purpose of the book. I'm using Shirat Hazinu as the introduction. Tehillim 78 is a proof of my understanding of Shirat Hazinu. And when I keep that in mind, I ask myself, why did Yeshua compose Sefer Yeshua? Because Yeshua's job as a Navi, as God's spokesperson, is explaining to the people, don't blame God for the failure. Blame yourselves for the failure. Right? And God did everything he promised. God promised to help us conquer the land. Everywhere we went, God was there for us. When we lost something, it's either because we didn't take initiative or because we sinned. Okay. Okay. As far as I said too quickly, David finished the conquest. I have to prove that when we learn Sefer Shmuel. In some ways, maybe Shaul did. You know, the question is what land? It goes back to the borders of the land. What are the borders of Israel, number one? Is it from Dan to Beersheba, basically Eretz Canaan, or is it from Egypt to Mesopotamia? That's one question. And the question, other question is, what does it mean by conquest? Does it mean like America conquered Iraq, but it didn't take over Iraq? Is military conquest enough, or do you have to settle the land? And what happens, let's say you have military conquest, but you didn't settle the land and other people are living there. Then what's its status? Boy, that's a big question nowadays, isn't it? A super important question, which requires a whole, a whole discussion, but that's for, anyway, I'll stop here. Rabbi, were there any major questions? I know I'm over time again.
You're not really, you're actually under time by 1 minute.
Time for the questions. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I thought it was seven. I'm mixed up.
Yeah.
I got mixed up with Rabbi Osher. Just in time.
But okay. It's fine. It's at 12:14. Yeah. Any questions? Not too many. Can you see your chat or no?
Oh yeah. I see the chat. Okay. I'm working backwards now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as Kevin, we'll get to your question about whether 21 to 41, it's not persuasive as far as what? It's only what God promised. I agree with you that if I had that pasuk by itself, I wouldn't see it. But right. When I read 21:41-43 in light of chapter 23, when I read Yeshua's speech in chapter 23, it's clear that the end of chapter 20 is referring to a speech.
Uh-huh.
It's word for word the same thing. But when I read chapter 23 carefully, it's clear that God did, Yeshua's telling the people, God will continue helping you conquer the land, but there's more left to do and you have to do it.
Right, but you have to read it with that by itself.
Yeah, that's exactly my point.
Right, okay.
But exactly what Shelley's saying, that Yeshua, why we'll do this next week, the story of the spies, Yeshua takes initiative, and God helps him with splitting the Jordan, doing a miracle with the Jordan River. We'll see how every story of God helping is going to do, everyone has to do alatorah.com, very good. Thank you, Carol, for doing that. It's such a great tool. You can... that's right. The people have to do it, not God doesn't do it. Or God does it for you, with you, not for you. That's a good question. When God promised, that's a question on Chumash. Why does God say, I don't want the wild animals? I'll let you do it slowly so the wild animals. We still live with nature, okay? Why isn't life a fairy tale? It's God's involvement it's nature plus a little bit. It's not. Not everything supernatural. That's a machshava question. And if God promises, there's a limit. Okay. When we finish Yeshua, maybe, or when we start Sefer Shoftim, maybe I'll dedicate a share to a more politically charged discussion over when is conquest supposed to be over? In other words, how much are we supposed to conquer? When do we say enough? When do we say there's a time for war and when is there a time for peace? I think someone right after the time period of King David had something to say about that. There was a time for war and there was a time for peace. And that's the question. And you'll see David's speech to Shlomo is basically, I think, and that's the topic for Sefer, the end of Sefer Shmuel and beginning of Malachim. Is when David says there's a time for war, more happening for, and there's also a time for peace, and that would be a prerequisite for building the Mikdash. Okay, so those are again how to understand God's promise. We'll deal with that. Okay, that's good. Our partial okay, so okay, that's a good point. Alrighty, next week I'll talk to. Next week I'll be in Memphis for Shabbat, so I have to check my timing, but I'll talk to Rabbi Jay, but there might be a little change in the timing next week. We'll see.
Okay. They are in Central Time, of course.
I know. I thought they were in. I didn't realize that. And
that's okay. You thought they were.
I messed up my schedule. I have to see if I can fix it, but I'll get back to you.
Let me know, and then we'll try to let everybody know as quick as okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Tomorrow, Yossi Lindell, who gave a talk before Pesach, is going to start a four-part series on the history of the Oral Law as we head into the holiday of Shavuot, of course. So that is beginning tomorrow at 12 noon. I'll be teaching a chat, but you can come without me. And anyways, okay. And then, of course, tomorrow night, Mark Shapiro, his regular weekly class, and then all our classes regular on. And Marty Lakshman, we're starting his series on Thursday afternoon. We'll send Thursday morning, depending where you live, Israel or here. This week's Parsha Shir will be given by Rabbi Shul Robinson from Lincoln Square Synagogue. And we look forward to learning with you and your friends, and everybody have a wonderful week. Weather's not quite as nice as it was here. I don't know where it is where you guys are. I hear it's raining in Israel also, Rav Menachem.
It's rained. It rained over Shabbos like crazy, but now it's back to, it's just drizzling a little bit today.
Okay. Can't complain. The trees are blooming. So Baruch Hashem. Okay. Everybody have a wonderful week. Be well. Look forward to learning with you, and, please invite a friend to join in. Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
And for those who didn't listen to Rabbi Yoel this week, make sure to listen to him next week. And you'll see where I get it, where what inspired me to do everything.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, very good. And thanks for helping out, of course, with that. Okay, be well, everybody.
30 degrees here in the Cayman Islands.
Oh, you're in the Cayman Islands.
Today. Oh my gosh.
Oh. When are you back in Toronto?
Next week, on the 8th.
On the 8th of May. Okay. Yeah. Enjoy. Okay. I've never been to the Cayman Islands, but okay.
I don't even know where they are.
Okay. They're not in Tanakh. That much I can tell you. Okay.
Oh, Iyayayam is in Tanakh.
Okay, maybe. All right. Okay.
Let's see which ones.
Very good. Okay. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.